Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Felitha Williams, and we're in the trenches again, talking about health and wellness. And it seems like it's been a while since we have been able to come together. But I do trust that things have gone well for you and that you have remained healthy and well, safe in the midst of all that we are experiencing. And so, you know, one of my favorite topics to talk about, of course, is food, because I think that properly is essential to good health. Proper nutrition enables the body to produce the necessary chemical reaction to make us healthy, to make our system function properly. I live in Alabama, and so I try to keep up with what's going on in other areas. But one of the things that I do know is that, number one, we're still experiencing some COVID exposure and infection, although the death rate is not like it was when we initially started with the pandemic. The other thing that I have noticed is that a lot of focus which we did place on people being healthy, that a lot of people now are relaxing that stance, and therefore it's making healthcare a little bit more difficult than it has in the past, because the amount of payments to insurance for people's health has increased, just basically because of not taking care of our individual health. I had the experience on yesterday. One of the deacons from my church called me, and he asked me if I would go check on somebody whom he had been doing some work for. And he explained that, number one, the man does have some mental health issues, which are not terribly bad, but mental health issues anyway. He doesn't like going to the doctors. He is, he's 65 years old, and he wanted me to talk with, the deacon of my church wanted me to talk to the man's sister first. So she gave me a little bit of background about his health care and how he had high blood pressure, but he was afraid to... he didn't want to go to the doctors because every time he went, his blood pressure was up. He didn't want to take medicine. He wanted to just do herbs. And so I agreed to, you know, go and check on him because the problem he was having is he had difficulty swallowing. And this included even liquids. And so I knew that could be a problem. Could be reflux, could have a hernia, and he could be having a stroke. And so initially he said, no, I can't, she can't come, my house not clean, I haven't had my shower and all of this. And this went on throughout the day. So I said, okay, that's fine. And I let his sister know, you know, you can't force somebody. You know, even though she is his power of attorney, I told her, you can't force somebody. And she began to tell me that she was his power of attorney, but her and her husband were 80 years old. They live in Georgia, so they couldn't just hop up and come and see about him. I did go out. Finally, around sometime in the afternoon, around 4, he agreed to let me come and see him. Never seen this person before. So, of course, when you're going to see somebody and you don't know them, all he knew about was the deacon in our church who had been helping him around the house, kind of keep things fixed up. And so she said, I'll tell him that you're Mr. Turner's friend. And I said, okay. So I went out. I didn't initially go in. I introduced myself, and I told him why I was here, and I explained to him that I understood he was having problems swallowing. And he said, yes, and he began to tell me that it happened once before for a few days, and then it got better. And so once I felt comfortable with him, I went in and I said, what I would like for you to do is drink some water. And he drank the water, and I noticed that because I was looking for signs of a stroke with just drinking water, and there's a way to tell. So, I mean, he did fine, although he had a hard time getting it down. He said it wasn't going down as easily. So, you know, we have a lot of people that have issues, not necessarily mental health issues about their health, but it does compact taking care of themselves. But his issue was he knew he had high blood pressure, and he just didn't want to go to the doctor because of that, because he didn't want to take medicine. And I always tell people, you have high blood pressure, you don't want to take medicine, then you got to do the next best thing that is helps you. The other thing that I have noticed is that not only with COVID, that we're coming out with different types of viruses which cannot be treated with antibiotics. They're antibiotic resistant. And this is what we're seeing now. Now, some of this is an overuse of antibiotics. And then some of this is just the fact that our immune system is not doing the job that it needs to do. So important that we do everything we can to keep ourselves as healthy as we can. One of the first initial viruses, which is affects the GI system, I noticed was a norovirus. That was a outbreak initially. That's what I saw. So now, after that, and I didn't hear any more about that, then I heard about the Shigella outbreak, and it is a type of virus. Also, can affect the GI system that they found it resistant to some of the antibiotics. So the reason I am bringing all of this up is to let you know that our health is really being tested with the occurrence and the mutation of different viruses. The reason I really deal a lot with food, I mean, that's not the only thing, but if we eat right, it really plays a big part of keeping us healthy. And so just looking at where healthcare is going now, I look at the TV, they're having teledocs, people that don't know anything about you, but you can get them online. I know at the VA, we can see the transitioning from in-person patient care to video patient care. The other thing that was transitioning there is that when people called in with symptoms, they would be, at the hours, they would be directed to a doctor online. Like I said, I'm here in Alabama, but that doctor could be anywhere in the United States. And actually take your symptoms and treat you without actually seeing you. They just go by the symptoms that you present to them. And then, of course, they prescribe medicine, which would be dispensed by the VA here locally. So I was looking at just lots of times I get little blurts about different things. And one of the things that I was able to see that came up on my email had to do with foods from the Bible. And I thought it was very interesting. It really, what it did, it listed 10 healing foods from the Bible. And when I looked at the foods, it was like, oh, these are things that we should be eating anyway. And it was just interesting that at the time that this popped up. Now, we know that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And because it is the temple of the Holy Ghost, treating these temples includes eating naturally healthy food. It's not surprising that God gave us many good food choices in His Word. And the 10 things that they recommended and has scriptural backup was listed. And I thought I would go over those. Now, you know, when I think about the creation, think about, you know, He put them in a garden with the vegetation, which included vegetables and fruit. And then I never really mentioned that, but how He put made the seas and He put the fish in the sea. And believe it or not, one of the very first foods that they discuss in these 10 food that they had noticed was fish. And the scripture come out of Leviticus 11:9 says, "These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever has fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, them shall ye eat." And so they, and we noticed that in Luke, in the 5th chapter, when they had been out fishing and they had caught nothing, they'd been there, they said they had toiled all night and they hadn't got anything. And Jesus let them know that he will make them fishers of men. But in addition, he told them to let their nets down. And when they let their nets down, they came up with specified fish from the rivers to be eaten. And so their nets were so full that it broke. And so in God's instruction to his people in early Bible times, he specified fish. And as we know, fish was a great staple in Jesus' days, and at least 7 of his disciples were fishermen. And on various occasions, he ate fish with his disciples, and you remember he performed 2 miracles using a lunch of small fish and bread to feed thousands of people. Fish is a very good source of protein and omega-3 fatty acids. Very, very important. When I was looking at that, I thinking about a nurse that worked for the VA in Atlanta, and he went to the doctor. His cholesterol was elevated, but his triglycerides were way off the chart. And what he did, because he didn't want to take medicine, so what he did is he stopped eating all meat except for fish, and that's what his meal plan was composed of: fruits and vegetables and fish. And he did that. I don't know how long he did that, but his triglycerides and his cholesterol came down. So fish is a very good source of omega-3 fatty acids, which is not only good for the heart, but it is good for the eyes. I take a fish oil because my eye doctor prescribed that his patients take fish oil. And he even sit down, he showed me the research. He participated in research at one of the well-known universities here in Alabama and showed the benefits. Yes, it helps your eyes, but it also helps, like, your heart, and just affects everything in your body. So I truly believe that fish is a very important of nutrition that we should have. The other one that the Bible talks about is raw honey. And we all know that honey is good for you. And there were some scriptures in Deuteronomy 26:9, which says, "And he hath brought us into this place and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey." and we look at Mark 1 and 6, and it talks about John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Raw honey really was a valuable asset in the Bible, and when God gave him the promise, that is one of the things that he said would be in the land that that they would be brought to. So honey is very important. Not only was honey nutritious and filling, it was valued. It was a valued gift, as well as a sweet metaphor for God's word. And we know that in Psalms 119:103, that he said, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." So we know it's not only valued, but it was also used in God's word. Now, due to its antioxidant, antifungal, and antibacterial properties, raw honey is usually called or referred to as liquid gold. It's used to help boost the immune system. It can soothe a sore throat or cough. It can soften dry skin. And it even aids in healing wounds. And I know that for a fact, because when I did home health, we had a lot of different healing agents that we would use for wound care. And one of the things that that came out, and we use it to this day for most wound care, is called Meta Honey. It is a type of dressing with honey properties, and it's very effective in wound care. Honey is a really good substitute for cooking with sugar, or at least use part honey and part sugar. I'm not really a sweet person, but sometimes what I will do, I drink honey ginger tea, which is ginger, of course, you know, is very good for you. I also sometimes, when I'm not feeling well, you know, not real sick, but just not feeling well, I'll do lemon and tea and honey, which is very soothing. Of course, it's good for sore throats. You see that. You see honey in throat lozenges. The other thing, too, sometimes when we're doing toast, rather than doing jelly, we can do honey. Honey is a natural sweetener. And I know everybody said, well, I may not have access to raw honey. And I know they do sell it in the stores. They sell both types. I happen to know one of my nurses, that I work with, who has a friend that has a beehive. And so typically I buy my honey from her. It was very interesting because I bought honey one time. It was a light honey, and then the next time it was a dark honey. And I learned from that it just depends on what time of the year you're buying honey. The bees, the color of the honey changes depending on the time of the year. And I really didn't really look at the time I bought the light and the time it was dark. But it's, for me, I can use that, not being a sweet person, I can do the honey because the honey is not sweet like sugar. So if I want anything sweet, I don't even buy jelly anymore. I just use honey now. And it does have so many good properties that support our health. So honey is just really, really good. The other, which is not going to be surprising to you, is olives and olive oil. Deuteronomy 8:8 said, a land of sweet and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. So you can see the repetitiveness in the Bible of the different things which are good for us scripturally. We know that olive oil is very good. Olive oil was very plentiful in Bible days due to the abundant crops of the olive trees. We now know that when they talk to us about using oils, olive oil is one of the preferred oil. Of course, we have canola is good, but the preferred oil is olive oil or peanut oil. Peanut oil is just so expensive. But olive oil is very good, and it is a recommendation from the medical perspective that if you're going to fry, use olive oil, okay? It says that green olives produce the best fruit and oil. Of course, oil made delicious side dishes, pickled or in a relish. Oil is very versatile. It can be used in baking bread as well as in a salve for a wound, softening skin. In the old days, they used it in lamps. And during Bible days, it was also as a sacred anointing for kings, which is why some people now when they I know we do. People want oil prayed over so that they use, they bring olive oil because that's scripturally based. And I have a lady that goes to my church, and she does have health issues, but she said that when certain things happen to her, she just drinks a little bit of oil. Olive oil is one of the most digestible fats, and it helps to reduce aging of body tissues, organs, and even the brain. And so I use olive oil a lot. I even like the nonstick. I buy the nonstick spray. I buy olive oil. It is also believed to protect against the risk of cancer, heart disease, and that it can even guard against stomach ulcers. It also is an antioxidant and an anti-inflammatory, has those properties, which makes it very valuable for us. Now, you can look at it and you see olive oil and then you see extra virgin olive oil. Most of the time what I buy is the extra virgin olive oil. A lot of times the stores here, like Publix or sometime when Dixie, they'll put it on buy one, get one free, and I usually stock up on it then. It's very good. One day, and I'm not much of a beef eater, but we had gone to one of the restaurants, and I couldn't decide what I wanted to eat. And And my son said, you need to try the roadkill is what it's called, but it's actually chopped steak. And I tried that, and they served it with onions and mushrooms. So what I did is I said, bought some chuck patties, which was 80% lean. And I said, let me try this. And I have some extra virgin olive oil, and I sauteed the onions and the mushrooms in that oil. And actually, I just ate, I had it on the steak, but I actually just ate it because it was really delicious. It was light. It was flavorful. Also, dressings like oil and vinegar can be very good. And a lot of times when I order dressing, I do balsamic, which is basically flavored oil and vinegar. You can make it by just using some honey to add flavor to seasonings or make it a little sweeter. But there's so many things that you can do with oil, and olive oil in particular. And we do know that it is very, very nutritious for you. The other is sprouted grains and bread. And bread gets a bad, bad reputation, but bread is very nutritious for us. It just depends on what type of bread you eat, because bread is made of complex carbohydrate, and it breaks down very efficiently for the body's use, which is why a lot of times if you have diabetes, it has to be limited because it breaks down so well and raises the blood sugar up. But it's not that you can't have it. It has to be in moderation. Ezekiel 4:9 said, take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millets and fishes, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side. 390 days shall thou eat of it. In the Bible, bread appears to be repeatedly referred to as the substance of life. And if you notice, Jesus said, referred to him as the bread of life. And you know that a lot of times he used natural analogies to refer to the spiritual. So knowing that he knew the properties of natural things, and he could use that in terms to refer to spiritual also. A lot of times we tell people when you are eating bread, we prefer you to eat the wheat bread. It is really more nutritious for you. And I see some stores have the white wheat, but your grain wheat is very good for you. Whole grain sourdough and sprouted grain bread, they say involves just soaking it or fermenting it of grain overnight until the seeds are partially sprouted. And this process actually makes these carbohydrates more easily digestible. In a recent study, they showed that wheat sprouted for 48 hours had a higher count of amino acids, and that those are building blocks for the body, dietary fiber, and we know that they tell you to increase your fiber and antioxidant activity. And now more and more grocery stores are stocking flour made from the things from the Bible, which are more healthy for us to eat. So bread is very good for you. It's really, and it is good in fiber. And fiber is very important. If you don't know, fiber is what helps the digestive system to get rid of any unused food that's not necessary. It helps in the breakdown of food, which helps in productive and effective elimination. A product that I have found is fruit, and everybody knows how good fruit is for you. It was just interesting that you can find all of this in the Bible. 1 Samuel 30:11-12 said, "And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisin. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights." So fruit is very good for you. And again, it helps with elimination. But also fruit provides a lot of the essential vitamins that are necessary for the body to function. In Numbers 13:23, and it talks about when they came down to the valley of Eshcol, that they cut down a branch that had single clusters of grapes that were so large that it took two of them to carry them on the pole between them. And grapes are very good. I really love the muscadines and scopinines. They're very, very good. A lot of natural sugar, pomegranate, and I don't particularly like figs, but my mother loved figs. That just wasn't one of the fruits that I liked, but she just loved them off the tree. And so, but we know that throughout the Bible, small fruits like figs and grapes and pomegranate also was widely used in beverages, cakes, or just even as fresh fruit. One of the things that they looked at is pomegranate have high anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, and even anti-tumor properties. It is loaded with minerals and vitamins like A, K, and E. Fresh figs are also low in calories, but they're high in fiber, again. And I guess that's why my mom liked it, because of the fiber. It just helped her system. And grapes also are powerful antioxidant that's known for guarding against colon and prostate cancer, as well as reducing stroke risk. They're rich in vitamins and minerals, and make fresh. They make great or dry snacks. And I do keep. Sometimes I have like fresh fruits, and sometimes I have the dried fruits, and they're just very good for you. The other is spices, and we know spices are very good. They're a good substitute for not using a lot of salt or no salt at all for those that can't use salt. Exodus 30:23 said, "Take thou also unto thee principal spices, pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, calamus. So we know that spices were used very widely in the Bible days, and spices are very good today. Cumin is a great source of minerals such as calcium, potassium, and zinc, and it also is rich in B complex. And of course, you know, cinnamon is it has an aromatic fragrance, and it's one of the it is a spice that had one of the highest antioxidant values known. Love cinnamon toast. So when I make my cinnamon toast, I make it with wheat bread and cinnamon. Okay? Of course, today garlic is also often linked with, you know, helping your heart and your immune issues. A lot of people take garlic for their blood pressure. So there are a lot of spices that were mentioned in the Bible, and you know, a lot of these spices had a lot of healing properties, such as promoting digestion, aiding the immune system, even relieving pain or fighting infection. Many biblical foods spices can make a great addition to a really good meal. And I've never tried this, but in small quantities, cinnamon make a great addition to dessert, and I understand that, but I've never used it in smoothies, and they say that. Yes, in apple cider drinks, yeah, but even in coffee, I've never, ever used cinnamon in coffee, and I said one day I might brave that and use that. The others is beans and lentils, and we all know beans and lentils are good for us. But in 2 Samuel 17:28, it says, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse. All of this is just very good for you. Beans can be substituted for protein. And some of you may not be old enough, but I remember when people just used to eat beans and cornbread and maybe some greens. And you're like, this ain't meal. You know, I tried that one time. My kids said, well, where's the meat? But beans are a good substitute for meat. You don't always have to have meat, but beans are a very good substitute for meat. They are a good source of protein. And so a lot of the legumes and beans like that, they're important to women who are pregnant because they have a lot of folic acid. Also, they have good antioxidant, and they're low in saturated fat. Nuts, of course, is good. And I found that in Genesis 43:11. And then said their father Israel said unto them that it must be so now, do this. The best fruit in the land in your vessels, carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, almonds. Pistachio and almonds, both are found in the Bible, and they are low-calorie snacks. A lot of times what I do is make snack and cran raisins together. It's a very, very good snack. Pistachios are high as antioxidants and include a lot of lutein, like other nuts. So they also, your nuts also have some cancer protection ingredients. So it's very, very good. And not only that, nuts have fiber. fatty acid, omega-3 fatty acid, protein. So just really, really good for you. Same way with flaxseed. And I know everybody's heard about flaxseed because a lot of people now take flaxseed. That was found in Proverbs 31 and 13. And so it's not only used for linen, but the seeds were actually used for food. It had a great medicinal value because of its high fiber, again, omega-3 fatty acid, proteins. You know, it contained one of the highest plant sources during that time. So it was very, very good. And I know a lot of patients would come in and said they were taking flax seeds. And the last one before I run out of time is goat milk and goat products. So now if you've never had goat is delicious. I told somebody about that and they went, ew, but goat is delicious, you know. And that was found in Proverbs 27:27, and thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food and for the food of thy household and for the maintenance for thy maidens. I've had goat cheese. Raw goat milk and cheese was plentiful during the Bible. Okay. It has, goat milk has less lactose, contains multiple vitamins, enzyme, and protein. And like I said, the whole reason for bringing this to you is to let you know that the Bible does speak a lot about different foods that we should eat. And in a time where I see medical care shifting, where there's not because there is no doctors, but because the way that they're shifting care now, they're shifting it to more video, to non-personal, face-to-face type of health care, it's so important that we now take care of ourselves. And so that was the reason I saw that. And I said, it's so interesting because I'm a big advocate of if you eat right, your body will do the work for you. And the Bible backs that up. So I was glad that I was able to find scriptures that really says exactly what I feel is important. So that is me for tonight. Any question or comment? Otherwise, I'm finished.
Okay. Yeah, I was late. I was late coming on.
Uh-huh.
I'm just wondering, when did the transition take place from the goat to the cow? I was sitting here trying to picture that because goats are all throughout the Bible, not the cow in terms of scripture. Cow's milk is bad for you anyway. Well, go ahead.
I think a lot of it had to do with economics, but in this area now, we see a lot of people raising goats now. A lot of people. I've never seen that before. Now, I know when my youngest sister was born, she, because of her allergies, she had to drink goat milk. But I think the transition had to do with economics. But now, people are going back to goats. Because like I said, in the area where I live, I see multiple people with goats. Never seen that before. You know, but, you know, goats sit out and they graze. And, of course, they keep the grass down. So I don't know when we transition, but I really do believe everything that transition has to do with economics.
Yeah,
it was probably cheaper to feed cows and get more production from them than it was from the little goats.
Goat, yeah.
But like I said, all of these things that I bought out, the fish, the raw honey, the olive oils, and your grains and breads, your goat milk, and your fruits, you know, like figs, grape, pomegranate, your spices, your beans and your lentils, your nuts, you know, and flax. It's all of that is very good. And, you know, in the earlier days, they understood all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But they learned, because there was no way for them to survive, because during slavery, and you know, I've seen a lot of pictures where they actually document, they're doing documentaries, not shows, but they're actually documentaries, where they were not given the food that was served at, quote-unquote, the big house. And so they had to mm-hmm. learn how to use what was accessible to them. And if you think about it, those people stayed healthy.
Now, that is true.
They worked hard. They were deprived of a lot, but they were healthy, and they learned to eat the foods that made them healthy.
Yeah, and they weren't fat like we got, fat
people. No, because the foods that they ate, you know, and even though they ate, sometimes the only thing they had was, you know, pigs, look at what they did. They didn't gorge out on that, but they had all the other foods to complement.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And the beans,
yeah.
We
have got to get back to being more healthy and eating.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
I can see the handwriting on the wall.
Yeah, noticed that now that I've been going to this holistic chiropractor, I can drive past McDonald's and not want to get that apple turnover. Whereas before, I would go get me an apple turnover. I can go past a lot of these fast food places and say, okay, I have this at the house. Whenever I get to the house, I'll do this. Or I will go to a place more in line with vegetarian or vegan.
Yeah.
And that
people
way
just
you
have
sort
to learn.
Of think,
yeah.
Go ahead.
And I mean, I tell people, even if you go out, you've got to learn to make the good choices, because they're going to push their high fatty foods on you. Because I had gone through McDonald's. Every now and then I like their milkshake because they make it with yogurt. And sometimes I'll eat. They have some yogurt products in there. It's not. If you taste it and taste it, now Jack's, which is down here, that's pure ice cream. But if you taste theirs and taste some others, you're going to find out it don't even taste the same. It's not even really that sweet. You know, I don't do it often, but if I get one, that's typically where I'll go. Or their Egg McMuffin, that is one thing that I learned from my dietitian, that I could teach the, especially people that are on the run, that was
mm-hmm.
nutritious, because it had all the food groups. And what they put on the Egg McMuffin is they use Canadian bacon. I buy Canadian bacon a lot of times. It's very lean. It ain't very big, but it's very lean.
Mm-mm. Hmm.
And
Egg McMuffin from McDonald's.
Yeah, Egg McMuffin. They used to do the egg white McMuffin. They don't do it anymore. But when we were trying to teach, like, men who said, I don't cook, and, you know, I have to get up early, she said,
mm-hmm.
Let them know they can have an Egg McMuffin because it has all the food groups in there.
Okay, well, I'll try going back.
When you go to McDonald's, look at the calorie count in the Egg McMuffin. They have it. Both.
I never took time to look at no calories. I just be hungry. I just order a whole bunch of junk.
And most people don't take the time to look at it, but. Yeah, they do post it. When you go up through the drive-thru, they do post,
yeah,
what
yeah.
is in there. And take a look at it, and you'll see. And they, and I like that about them, because now they're starting to do that. But your Egg McMuffin is a complete meal for you, and like I said, it has the different food groups that you need. So, yeah. Now, me, sometimes when I go there, I'll get the Egg McGriddle, okay?
That's the one that has the syrup in it.
Yeah, but it's, now the Egg McMuffin from McDonald's has 287 calories. Not very much.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that Egg McGriddle. I don't do it often, but every now and then, if I want, sometimes I have, because I don't eat sweets like that, but it's almost like my body's saying, you need something sweet. But if I'm at home now, I'll get, you know, some cran raisins or something like, I try to keep fruit cups and stuff like that. But even the Egg McGriddle is only 340 calories. So if that's all I'm eating for breakfast, that's not bad.
Mm-mm.
And the thing about those, they're filling. It's just a matter of trying to find out what's more nutritious and it's going to satisfy the hunger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's it for me. So, once I look at all these new viruses that are coming out and the way I see healthcare going, I'm pushing people to eat healthy big time.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. You all have a good evening. Okay.
Late.
Have a good evening.
Sorry.
That's okay.
All right. Same to you.
All right.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.